15. Teacake and Naomi had reached the bottom of the ladder, and damn, it felt good to put his feet on solid ground again. The flashlight in his pocket had been shining upward the whole way, and Teacake had long since settled into a kind of trance, his body moving mechanically, step down, slide hands, step down, slide hands, step down, slide hands. No use looking down since it was all just a big black inky puddle land there. Step down, slide hands. He'd hesitated briefly when they reached the gray door for SB3, but Naomi hadn't even bothered to look down. And if she had, he would have grinned and kept on, knowing perfectly well neither one of them would settle for anything less than making it all the way to the bottom at this point. So they'd continued on. And that's when the climb got long. Really long. From the schematic, he would have guessed the lowermost floor to be about 100 feet below SB3. But now that he thought about it, that section of the drawing had been broken by a jagged line with a space through it, which must have meant a whole lot of earth was left out. Step down, slide hands, keep going. His mind had gone for a little stroll, a pleasant one this time, since the only thing that was illuminated in the area was above him. And the only thing he could see clearly up there was Naomi's backside. He refrained from calling it or thinking about it as her ass. It was her backside, and it was a very nice one. But hang on, that's exactly what he was trying not to think about, out of respect. He wondered what they would do if they went out on a date, since she didn't drink. Truth was, he didn't like alcohol as much as he used to. It made his moods unpredictable. He'd get mad when he shouldn't, happy for no reason, and wasted people bugged him more as he got older. Plus, there was the waking up in the night. He couldn't sleep 12 hours at a time like he could even a few years ago. Too bad. He missed those days. But he'd noticed the mornings when he was 100% clear-headed were kind of cool. So, okay, that's all right, but when people don't drink or get high, like, what do they do around here? He imagined the two of them jacked out of their minds on coffee, but who wants that? And then he pictured them working out together, and she was very sweaty and glisteny. Man, was she put together tight. And whoops, hang on, things were headed off in that direction again. So then he saw them taking her daughter to the movies. And maybe the kid got scared at one point and jumped in his lap. And he'd say, "That's okay, you're okay, kid. Turn your head away, hide your eyes, and I'll cover your ears. I'll tell you when it's safe to come out. I'll protect you." And Naomi would look over at him and she'd smile. He was good with kids. He didn't mind them after all. Maybe he could actually... In the end, he did fall, but it was only one step. His right foot hit bottom hard. He hadn't seen it coming. He lost his balance and his left slipped off the last rung. He oofed, Naomi turned, and he reached a hand up to help her. "Careful." She took his hand, he helped her off the last rung, and they stood together at the bottom. It was colder down here, maybe 60 degrees, and surprisingly humid. He pulled the flashlight out of his pocket and shined it upward, till the light disappeared into the endless black tunnel now above them. He turned it toward the door in front of them. It was another gray indentation, but this one was bigger than the others, heavily reinforced with a series of bars and levers, and had a black stencil spray-painted across it. DTRA access only. "What's DTRA?" he asked. "Let's find out." She pulled out her phone to Google it. No signal. Shocker, he thought. He looked at the door, which was more like a submarine hatch, crisscrossed with a complex latticework of steel slats, all joined together at the corners and leading to a large black handle. Pull on the handle, the hinged slats pull against each other. The door opens. "You want to do it?" she asked him. "I'd really like to know what those letters stand for."
"Me too.
I get the feeling I'd like to know more."
"What if it's don't touch radiation, asshole?"
"Yeah, that would be some amusing shit," he said.
"I'm cool if you want to just go back up."
Yeah. Like that was going to happen. He reached for the handle, but she put her hand on his arm and caught his eye.
"I mean it."
He looked back at her and thought about that for a nanosecond or two, and really, could things have been going any better at this point? There was a kiss moment coming, there had to be, or at least a gripping each other in fear moment. And he wondered, these kinds of moments with a woman like Naomi, did he think they grew on fucking trees? Not in the barren, rocky ground that had been his love life, they didn't. The seeds of romance had found no purchase there since, oh God, the middle of high school. No, he was not going back up. They were going to finish this. The handle moved so much more easily than he thought it would. The door-opening mechanism was a work of engineering genius. You gave one gentle pull on the black bar and the rest of the pieces glided about their business, each tugging on the other with just the right amount of force at precisely the correct angle. Even after decades of disuse, the high-quality metal had not yielded to rust, even in the humid environment. The dozen moving pieces struck up the music in their symphony of movement, and 8 deadbolt locks pulled out of the recessed metal slots in the door jambs where they had rested for the last 30 years. Teacake pushed the door open. Something rushed out and slammed into them. But it wasn't anything nearly as horrible as what their imaginations had been conjuring. It was cold air. Cool, really, maybe 50 degrees. After the climb down, they'd both worked up a half-decent sweat, so when the blast hit them, it woke them right up. After the cold, the second thing they noticed was the sound, a whooshing that was coming from right over their heads like water rushing through pipes. Teacake raised his flashlight toward the source of the sound and saw that was exactly what it was. They were standing on a water pipes, a dozen of them, side by side, lining the ceiling of the underground tunnel, and water was circulating through them fast. It was a low ceiling down here, so Teacake stretched up to reach them and his hand came away wet. The pipes were sweating. Naomi looked at him. Hot? Cold. Freezing. I don't hear any pumps or anything. Teacake looked at the moisture on his hand. But they're sweating. Must be humid down here.
It is, I can feel it.
Why would it be humid underground? He asked.
Can I see that?
She meant the flashlight. He handed it to her and she shined it around the place. They were in another long tunnel, a mammoth, concrete-lined underground space. She looked up at the pipes, rushing with water.
Where is it coming from? She asked.
Like an underground cold spring?
Guess so.
From the far end of the corridor, they heard a familiar sound. Beep. The goddamn beep again, accompanied simultaneously by a pinpoint of white light, a super bright strobe about 20 yards away. Naomi turned and looked at him.
Dude, we are so close.
Beep. He took the light back. I carry this. He started down the hallway, shining the light in front of him, following the pipes as they went. She stayed close. The beeping got louder, the strobe brighter as they moved toward it. Farther in, they could make out the shapes of other doorways. It wasn't just a long tunnel, but another level of a storage complex. There were half a dozen doorways on either side of the corridor, all heavily reinforced steel with the same kind of complicated locking mechanism as the entry door had. There were panels and sensors outside each door, but they were all deactivated. 2 of the doors had been left open altogether, but a quick shine of the light inside showed them to be empty, just blank concrete walls and vacant space. To be fair, there could have been more to the rooms than that, but Teacake had little interest in going into them, or even diverting the light away from the path ahead for long enough to get a good look. He had a plan. A very clear plan, both short-term and long-term. Shine light, walk forward, figure out goddamn beeping, get your ass back upstairs, ask for her number, call it a night. Steps 1 and 2 of his plan were going fine. The beeping continued to get louder, the strobing light brighter. As they drew close to the source, though, step 3 was looking to be a real bitch. They slowed to a stop at the last door on the right, where there was a vertical display panel similar to the one they'd seen upstairs, but more detailed, and covering only the room beyond this door. Many of the sensors and indicators had been deactivated, but there's one that still worked, and it was going off now. NTC thermistor breach. Teacake looked up because the whooshing of water through corrugated metal pipes was even louder down at this end of the hall. He shined his light up at the ceiling and saw that the pipes, all of them, made a right turn just over their heads and went directly into this room, through half a dozen specially cut holes in the thick concrete outer wall. Beep. There was only one door left. Teacake and Naomi looked at each other. to open or not to open. She spoke first. No, I'm good. Me too. They turned to get out of there at almost exactly the same moment, like a couple of synchronized swimmers. Enough is enough. Although he had to admit that was fun, of course he thought something awful was going to happen. But what do you know? It didn't for once. And no, they still didn't know what was defrosting, but they knew enough and they both felt alive and he was definitely getting a phone number out of this. That's when they heard the squeaking. It had been there all along, they just didn't pick it up until the moment they turned away from the door. It was the squeak of an animal. Or many animals. Teacake swung his flashlight beam over toward it fast, and the light fell on a lump of fur on the floor a few feet behind them. It looked just like that at first, a chunk of mohair or animal hide. But this thing was moving, writhing on the floor. They edged closer, in spite of themselves, the flashlight's pool of light getting smaller and brighter as they drew up on the thing. There was a lot of movement there. The center of the object was fairly still, but all around its edges there were irregular shapes moving independently, stretching and snapping. They were rats' heads. There were a dozen of them, arranged in a rough circle around a tangled mass of ropey cartilage in the center. It was like staring at an optical illusion at first, trying to figure out what in God's name this thing could be. It was a rat. It was one rat, but it was also a dozen rats, fused together into one body at the tails, all screeching and snarling and biting at each other. Two or three of the heads were still, cannibalized by their neighbors. Blood dripped from the rats' teeth and flowed from missing ears. The pile of snarling rodents was bound together at their conjoined tails by a strange, greenish sap that had oozed over them. Teacake expressed his feelings.
Jesus fucking Christ!
Naomi was repulsed, but also fascinated. It's a rat king.
A what?
A rat king. It's a... well, that. She gestured because there were no words that could take the place of one quick look at the horrific thing. They wrote about them in the Middle Ages during the Black Plague. People thought they were a bad omen.
No shit, it's a bad omen. It's called a fucking rat king.
Naomi leaned in to get a closer look. There was an intellectual detachment to her. She was going to make a good vet if she ever got that far. She could look at pain and deformity and see the clinical side of it rather than the emotional one. Teacake had no clinical side. He was all feeling and freak out, so he kept his distance.
How do they get like that?
Nobody knows for sure. Their tails get knotted and stuck together, like from pine sap or something. She looked around and picked up a long piece of scrap metal from the floor nearby. She prodded the mass of fused tails. If they found a dead one of these, they used to preserve it and put it in a museum.
Yeah, well, that one's not dead. Would you get the fuck back, please?
What are they gonna do, run up my leg? They can't even move. She got closer, turning on her phone's flashlight again and shining it on the fused tails. From this close, she could see that the dull pink cords of the tails were covered over with a lime-green growth of some kind.
That's not pine sap, she said. She bent closer. It's like a slime mold.
Yeah? Cool.
He looked around.
Coming up on time to go.
But she moved even closer to the squirming rats. They squeaked louder as she drew toward them, thrashing, trying to get at her or get away from her. It was hard to tell which.
It seems like you're pissing them off.
Naomi's light was close to the snarl of tails. No, it's not a slime mold. There's no froth, and it seems like it's moving a little bit, like a fungal ooze. But God, that's a lot of fungus.
Teacake edged a tiny bit closer, shining the more powerful flashlight's beam on the wriggling mass. Moving the light around to get another angle on it, he noticed that the fungal growth wasn't only on the rat's tails. There was a thin smear of it that ran across one side of the rat king, covering two or three of the entangled animals, and continued onto the floor below. A jagged ribbon of green led away from the rodents toward the wall. Teacake raised the flashlight beam, following the trail to the wall, where it had crept up onto, or down from, the wall itself, and then across a groove in between cement slabs, all the way to the edge of the door to the sealed room. He walked closer, and saw that the green trail of oozing fungal matter led into one of the dead bolt slots and disappeared into the room itself. From this close, he could feel something emanating from the door. Heat. Slowly, he reached out his hand and laid his palm flat against the metal. Beep. He jerked his hand away from the door and nearly jumped out of his skin at that one because he was standing just a few inches from the thermistor alarm when it went off, and the sound was right in his ear. He shouted in surprise. Naomi looked up. What? Door's hot. I mean, the door is hot, and the green shit is coming out of that room, and there's a fucking rat king, and curiosity is awesome and everything, but I feel like this is about as far as this shit goes for me. She stood. Me too. Let's get out of here. We can't leave them like that, though, she gestured to the rats. He looked at her, uncomprehending. What, you want to take him with us? Of course not, but they're suffering. Yeah, well, I don't have any oxy on me. I can do it, she said. He looked down at the metal pipe in her hand. Are you serious? You want to leave a dozen animals in agony to starve to death? No, I would like to get the fuck out of here and not think about them. Wait by the door, I'll be right there. Fine, cool, you're weird as fuck, but I don't know, I'm cool with it. He started to walk away. Can I have the flashlight? Hell no. She looked at him. He clarified. I mean, wouldn't it be better without it? You know, just get the job done, not have to look at a lot of gross shit. I'm fine, go ahead. He felt like a heel and a coward, but he also felt like getting as far away from the whole situation as humanly possible. As far as the fight between his competing needs went, his need to put some distance between himself and the hot room and its weird fungal shit beat his need to impress Naomi in a first-round knockout. He covered the length of the tunnel in about 30 seconds, looking back over his shoulder only once. He caught just a glimpse of her, bending down over the Rat King, staring at it enthralled. He reached the hatch at the far end and came out into the dark space at the base of the tube ladder. He'd never been so glad to be at the bottom of a 300-foot concrete shaft in his life. He closed the door most of the way, just enough to not see or hear whatever it was she felt she had to do, and he waited. It took her longer than he thought it should have, but then he'd never had to put a dozen conjoined rats out of their misery, so what did he know about how much time a person needed to get that shit done? After a few minutes, he got impatient and opened the door to take a look, but he could already see the weak beam of Naomi's phone light coming at him, bouncing as she walked. As she drew close, she switched off her phone, and he waved the flashlight beam in her direction to light her steps. He raised it to her as she got close. You get any of that shit on you? He asked. No. You sure? I'm sure. She came through the hatch, and he closed it, shoving the big black handle into place. The locking mechanism did its job again. It must have been thrilled to get to open and close twice in 10 minutes after decades of just sitting there minding the store. It sealed up the tunnel with a reassuring chunk of metal in metal. Teacake shined the light up the ladder, assessing the climb ahead of them. You want to go first this time, or? He didn't see the kiss coming. And if he had the moment to live over again, of course he would have done his part differently. One second he was looking up and talking, and the next he felt her lips on his cheek and her hand on his other cheek, turning him softly toward her. Then they were kissing. Well, she was kissing him, really, and it was a soft and sweet and full-lipped kiss, just the right kind. It was over before he'd had a chance to get his bearings, and maybe for that reason it was the perfect first kiss, the kind that leaves you feeling fresh and alive and wanting another one exactly like it. Because he could not help himself, he spoke. Wait, what? She smiled. Thank you. That was bizarre and cool. Without another word, she turned away and started climbing back up the ladder toward the top. TK grinned. Some things you just couldn't call. So are you, lady. He shoved the flashlight back in his pocket and followed her. He smiled all the way up, and he did not look at her ass, not even one time.